animals, man.
They look all cute and harmless, and then they're crazy.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. This week, we discussed the Dead Files episode Betrayed, which is from season 2 and is episode 13. Originally aired April 5th, 2013. And Amy, since this is your pick, why don't you tell us why you chose this?
Okie doke. I did have a different one picked out, but then I realized that the one that we did last time and the one that we did after were all had a mental health aspect to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to find another one that had a mental health aspect so we could do a threefer.
Nice.
So a little trifecta. And sure. So that's why I grabbed this one.
I like it.
Content warnings. What did we talk about? Death by suicide in history.
Yeah. Towards the beginning, Amy and I also made some gagging noises.
Yeah.
So if you don't, when we talked about taking shots out of somebody's belly button. So.
Yeah.
If gagging noises are gross to you, which totally understand, you might want to skip past that when we start talking about shots coming out of a belly button.
Yeah, just do a little fast forward.
A little boop, boop. A boop,
boop. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
I'm loving that people are recommending episodes. Yes. I would love for this whole season to be episode recommendations. But so go to the link that's in the show notes to our Google Drive, and you can make notes on the document that we have in there. It's a spreadsheet of all the episodes that we have not yet done.
You know how Amy loves her spreadsheets.
I love my spreadsheets. And so you can make a note in there. You will get a shout out on the show. And then the other thing is calling all nerds. Mm-hmm. I did update our Reddit.
What?
Our Reddit page. So
holy
that
shit.
I updated with the ads, the icon, the background stuff. I did a welcome post, and so come on over and chit chat with us, and you can talk about episodes you like and blah blah blah. And then Megan, do you want to talk about next week what we're doing?
I sure do. We have another listener recommendation. Thank you so much. It comes from Carrie, who suggested season 10 episode 2 Tangled. In the Dead Files Season 10, Episode 2, titled Tangle, Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen travel to Berlin Heights, Ohio, to investigate a home plagued by violent paranormal activity affecting a mother and her daughters. Amy encounters a menacing female entity and a vine-like entity, gross, while Steve uncovers a dark history revealing that the home's activity is causing physical danger to the residents.
And by some weird coincidence, the next one that I picked, I got from a mention on Reddit, and it's also in Ohio. So for the one after that, I thought we should do another Ohio, and then we'll have three Ohios.
Yeah,
and maybe
I'm
this
down.
Season we can just do three things that, you know, episodes, sets of three.
Yeah.
So if anyone has an episode that they want us to cover that takes place in Ohio, please let us know.
Yeah.
This episode will be coming out on the 19th, and we would need to know by the 25th. So get on that if you want to. There are 8 more episodes that we have not covered that take place in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of them I wouldn't do yet because it's one that I've been wanting to do, but it's a real heavy one. And I don't know if we want to go heavy with the world crashing and burning right now. I think we'll just
time. It's heavy enough with people losing rights and
that's
lives.
Right.
And
exactly.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Well, hope you enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show. All right. I'm ready.
I am ready.
Can we just say for the listeners that I was super ready today, which never happens.
You were ready half an hour before.
Usually, Amy's like, okay, Megan, we're recording at 2. And I'm like, I'm just finishing my notes at 1:59. I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, you were ahead. You were ahead of me.
I was like, listen, I'm ready.
You might as well jump when you're ready. And sometimes I'm ready early, too.
Usually you are, but it's the big football game tomorrow. And so Amy was making some chili.
Yeah, I was making some chili and I was trying to get it done because I don't know if we're going out tonight. We weren't planning on it, but now we might. So I'm like, I can't make the chili afterwards because then we'll be late.
You'll be out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I decided I better get it done now. Mm-hmm. And I'm making deviled eggs, too. And so
yum. God, I love deviled eggs.
I do too. Who doesn't, honestly?
I
mean, even people that say they don't like eggs will eat 5 deviled eggs.
But it's, have you seen the meme, but it's like the message where it's like, do you want to eat 6 eggs at once? And everyone's like, fucking no.
No.
And they're like, what about if we cut them in half and add mayo to them? And they're like, fuck yeah.
Sign me up.
I will just shovel them unabashedly into my mouth.
So good. God, they're good.
They're so good.
So I am making some of those. So I hard boil the eggs today. Sure. And then I'll make the finish them tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I did 6 eggs and 2 of them burst.
First of all, that's not enough eggs. Okay.
I know. Well, like I already 14. Had 14. I know. I already had a couple more. We don't have that many people coming. But
I didn't get an invite.
Well, I was going to invite you, but then I thought John would never watch Jordan while the game is on. So correct. I didn't bother. But you are welcome to come if you can find somewhere to put your kid.
I know. I'm totally teasing. I love how people were upset because Bad Bunny was doing the halftime show. And so to placate everybody, they got Green Day.
For the like, pre-show,
right? Do you know what you have just done? Do you know what you've unlocked with Green Day?
Yeah. I don't know. I used to love Green Day.
Oh, I do too. But they're so far from what the people who want them are.
What do you mean?
Like the people who wanted somebody other than Bad Bunny are going to be your MAGA people. And Green Day is so far away from them.
Right.
They think that they're getting what they want because they're white.
Yeah.
But they are so far from what they want.
I don't know if they still are, but at least back in the day, they were nearly like anarchy. I mean, they were like...
They are. They still are.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't heard anything from them in a while, but yeah.
They've one of their songs, I forget which one, they've changed it to "We're not part of a MAGA agenda."
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll play it that way.
Oh, of course they will. They're Green Day. Like, what are they going to do? Not be famous anymore? They've been famous for 30 fucking years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be fun to see. I'm excited to see that. And I did look at, I watched a video on YouTube of some of the other commercials that are supposed to be on this time. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was punked because they were all terrible. They all made no fucking sense. And then one of them was like a Serena Williams for her GLP-1 medication.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, am I watching a commercial in the commercials? Because I've seen that commercial already. Yeah. Why would it be a Super Bowl commercial? So I just quit watching because I thought I was out of my mind. And then I read an article about all the commercials that are going to be on, and it named all the ones I watched. They all look AI. They're all stupid. So I'm not excited about the commercials. I'm just going to watch Puppy Bowl and eat deviled eggs and chili.
Yeah. And I don't know much of Bad Bunny's music.
I don't know any.
But from the clips that I've seen him, he seems hilarious.
Oh, really?
If only he were American. That's all I'm going to say. Because he's from Puerto Rico, which is American.
Oh.
That's the joke. That's the joke that everybody's like, why can't they get somebody who's American? And it's like, he's American because he's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, he's just brown. That's all. Well, and like we watched a little bit of the ceremony last night for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. What the fuck was Celine Dion doing? First of all, she looked fake. She is fake. But it looked like a hologram or something. And then she is not Italian, if I remember correctly.
No, she's French Canadian.
Yeah. So why is she like the...
I don't know.
Why didn't they pick an Italian singer? I asked Greg and he goes, there were other Italian singers. I'm like, I know, but for like the big, big, big number coming out in the $5 million of jewelry.
I'm surprised that she was even performing with her stiff person syndrome.
What's that?
That's what she has. That's why she hasn't been performing nearly as much as she used to, because she was diagnosed with stiff person syndrome.
That sounds like a joke. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Google it.
Is it real?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, she definitely wasn't moving, so.
Yeah. So,
I thought she looked fake. She looked like she was on top of a wedding cake.
Yeah, no, she has stiff person syndrome.
I have never heard of that. I will look that up.
Google it. You'll love, I slipped a little picture of you in our notes today.
Okay.
So, listeners, be prepared. Amy has not seen this.
I have not. I have not looked at it. I glanced this morning early just to see if you put any notes
in. It's towards the bottom.
And I didn't. I was like, oh, she made some notes, so that's it.
I did. Yep. Yeah.
Good.
I got it. So don't worry. It's you'll find it. I hope you enjoy
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked with Sabaline on it.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Fun.
It was a good project.
Good. Speaking of pictures, I was at the Asian market this morning, and guess what I saw?
Ramen noodles.
No, better. Oh. Ableist garlic.
Oh, no. Already peeled?
Yep. I put it on Instagram.
Don't put it in the grouper. Not the already peeled garlic.
Oh. I'm not in that group anymore.
How? I'm not either. I left the one. I don't even
know if it's still around.
I think it is. Wow. I hope you didn't buy it.
Mm-mm.
Thank God.
I'm not a monster.
Yeah.
No.
You can peel your own garlic.
That's right.
Do you have a garlic peeler, one of those small tongy things you're supposed to peel the garlic with?
No. But I have a little rubber tube that you put the garlic in. The tube's like a cannoli. It's about,
yeah,
3 inches long or something.
Yeah.
And you put the garlic in there and then you roll it on the counter. And then magically all the garlic comes out peeled and the paper.
I don't know. It's
still inside the tube.
That is magic.
It's really cool.
That's ableist too, though, because you can peel the garlic.
I really could use my own damn fingers, right?
God, I have them, so.
This is
the last episode, everybody. I can't be a partner with somebody who doesn't use her fingers.
That's right. That sounds naughty. Okay, we better get on track here.
You are naughty. Okay. I'm ready. I'm waiting for you. I've got the script up and I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. Here we go. I walked in the room today and I said to the dogs, all came in with me, and I said, all right, everybody, places, everyone, get in your beds, because Gracie's just wandering around in circles.
Yeah.
I'm like, get in your bed. She tried to hide under my desk. I'm like, no, places, everybody. We're getting ready to start. Showtime.
Vivian's like barking at her shadow on the wall.
No, she's in her little bed. She's right next to me.
Perfect.
She's cute. Hello.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Betrayed. And since this is Amy's pick, she is here with your overview. So, Amy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Megan. Today's episode of The Dead Files takes us to Egg Harbor, New Jersey, where a young family is living in a house that feels less like a home and more like an endurance test. Jesse and Fred have 3 small children, and almost immediately after moving in, things begin to unravel. Their son refuses to sleep in his bedroom. Their daughter has been mysteriously ill for years, with doctors unable to find a cause. Both parents are seeing shadow figures, hearing voices, and dealing with severe insomnia. At one point, Jesse even sleepwalks out of bed, following what she believes is a child, toward the basement. When Amy arrives, she is hit hard and fast. She encounters a massive, hostile male energy that initially presents as a shadow figure, one that threatens violence, fixates on women, and appears determined to cause harm. Inside the house, she also sees bizarre jellyfish-like fragments on the ceiling, broken pieces of human energy that this entity is trying to fuse together into something stranger. And add to that a confused elderly spirit hiding in a child's closet, and the atmosphere quickly turns grim. Steve's investigation reveals layer upon layer of tragedy. A former owner's teenage son died by suicide in the basement. Her husband later descended into psychosis, claiming people were in the house before his death. Digging deeper into the land's history uncovers a 19th century German immigrant, Louis Roche, who was lured to America with false promises of opportunity. Instead, he found undeveloped land, crushing loss, and the deaths of multiple children, including one from appendicitis. Amy realizes this earlier Louis is the true source of the haunting. Betrayed, enraged, and consumed by vengeance, he cursed the land itself. In doing so, he trapped not only the living, but himself. His rage manifests as illness, fear, fractured spirits, and relentless pressure on the family, especially their children. The conclusion is unusually firm. The family is advised to stay, but only if they act immediately. A local Wiccan is brought in to neutralize the curse, protect the living, and finally sever the cycle of misery tied to the land. Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. I'm going to keep track of these at some point, but I think I've mentioned this before, but the way that I create the transcript is that I audio record the episode on my computer, and then I put it in Word and it transcribes it. And often it's much better than it used to be, even a few months ago. But every time Steve says, I'm Steve Dishavi, I'm a retired New York City homicide detective, it has never once put in Dishavi.
Never.
It's something different every time, and it's pretty funny. This mm-hmm. time it was Steve Dishaba.
Mm-hmm.
So we should just name all the episodes for what they call Steve.
Yeah. The activity continues. Steve Dishaba. Steve
Dishaba.
The first thing I noticed in this episode is Matt looks very good in that coat that he is
wearing. I saw that you mentioned that. I didn't go back and look.
Oh, it was very nice. And Amy's coat is delightful. Like, they are both dressed.
I saw that you mentioned both of their coats, and I'm like, maybe yes. Megan's cold. Are you chilly when you wrote this?
It was just like Matt has a very smart looking like navy blue pea coat that just hugs him in the right places.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Amy's is a kind of a smart, like an eggplant color, like a mauve color, but it's like tight in the back with little frills. It was very cute. It was very cute.
Oh, cool. I'll have to go back and look.
He is very cute. Cute. Yeah.
I think Matt is cute.
He is adorable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do see Ring Shot real early on.
Of course.
Yeah. So we're in Egg Haba.
Season two. So we got to be, Ring Shot's coming in hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. True. I was very upset when he pronounced it Egg Harbor. I'm like, come on.
Come on, Steve. You know how to say Egg Haba.
Egg Haba. New Josie. It is so hard for me to say it the way that, like, it makes my mouth hurt. My friends tell me to say Joy. Like,
it's Joy-Z. Joy-Z.
It is so hard for me to do that.
Joy-Z. Yeah. Kind of like Jay-Z, but Joy-Z.
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 Yeah, there you go.
I can't make my mouth do it.
You got it. I think it's all good.
What that mouth do? Not that.
Not that.
Not that.
Amy comes in hot with this face. She's like, And so she sees a big shadow, but then she figures out it's just a guy. And he wants to slit her throat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Normal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how are you?
Yeah. We meet Jessie, the client.
Who spells her name J-E-S-S-E-E.
Right. Yep. And Megan and I both noted that she's very small and looks very young.
She looks so young. She is adorable.
She
I looked at her and I'm like, does your mom know you're married? With three children?
With three children. I know.
She's a grown ass woman. But she
must
just
be a lot older than I think she is. But she just started having children very young.
She just looks so young.
Yeah, she does.
And then next to her husband, she's like, I mean, he's like a beast. He's got to be over 6 feet tall.
He's a lot taller than Steve. Yeah.
Well, like,
at least while they're standing on the porch. I might be taller than Steve. Just kidding. No, I'm not. But yeah, we do note later, we hear Fred, the husband, say that, you know, when he was scared of something, I had to go get my 4'9" wife, 4'9" wife. And I'm like, oh, she is tiny.
Yeah. 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 She was very, very little.
Yeah. So yeah, they have three children and they're here. The things that we already talked about, what they're experiencing, shadow people and no sleep, and the kid won't sleep in his room, yada, yada. And then Jessie talks about the little girl. First of all, we never meet these children. We don't know their names. They're just,
we don't even
see
children. A picture of them.
No.
Yeah.
No, we just.
Which, I mean, they're totally very, they're 6'4" and 2". They're very they're small.
Very little. Yeah. So totally understand why they're not part of the show. But she does. Jessie talks about how her daughter's been sick for 2 years and she's only four.
She's four. Okay. 6'4" and 2".
Okay. Right. So she has been sick half her life and they couldn't figure out what was going on. They tested her for everything that she mentions, specifically leukemia, which.
And I'm like, how terrifying to have doctors tell you that they're testing your small toddler for cancer. Like, I can't imagine having that fear of, like, one, I can't believe this is happening. Two, what if she does have leukemia? You know, I just feel so bad for this whole family. Like, and they've been in the house, they've said, 8 years. So the entirety of their children's lives have been, they haven't known peace.
Yeah.
So that was just terrible. Like, I couldn't imagine having that.
Yeah, it's awful. The next scene is where they talk about Jessie having that dream that we mentioned in the overview, where she's dreaming about a young boy, a young lad. It's a teenager that walks her to the basement. She follows him to the basement or toward the basement in the dream, And she goes a few steps down, and then she waits on the, or stops on the landing, and then the dream goes away. She wakes up, but she's not in bed. She's standing on the stairs. So she actually did that sleepwalk.
To me, it was like, made me think of Paranormal Activity, the movie, like, because they did that shit. And we all know how traumatized I am from those movies. But yeah, that, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, waking up out. Oh my God.
It's terrifying. I would be so afraid to go to sleep. I see why she doesn't sleep. Because if you can do that in your sleep, who knows what else you could do? Or she's, you could tumble down the stairs.
I was just going to say, she's lucky she didn't fall.
Yeah.
Because that could have killed her.
Especially you wake up and you're startled and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're upright, not in bed where you expect to be.
Yeah.
And then Steve is like, well, you on any medication? You boozing? What are you drinking that night?
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, I did belly shots, but like, what? Nothing out. I mean, that's just a normal
Tuesday.
That's
normal. Yeah.
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 That's how I go to bed. Some people, you know, drink that, you know, bedtime tea. I do belly shots. Yeah. Is that what they're called? I don't know.
I don't even know. Is that like off somebody's belly?
Yeah. You pour it in the belly button, which... Oh my God. There's so many germs
That's
in a belly
so gross.
Button.
No,
that
thank
is
you.
So fucking gross.
That's really gross.
Oh God, I'm gagging. We have to move on.
It's gross. Okay.
Oh God, it's making me gross.
All right. So we should probably do a content warning, gag sounds.
Right there. Content warning, talk of belly button shots. Yeah.
So she hears people talking. To each other in her dream, but then she wakes up and they're still talking, and she goes down to investigate.
No, what? She's like, I hear voices in my house. By golly, all 4'9" of me is gonna go investigate.
I'm gonna go investigate.
I'm like, that's when I tell my 6'10" husband Fred, get out and investigate the sounds, because you're a beast.
I just tell my dogs, if I hear something and I get up, I hear something and they're sleeping or they're awake, but they're not, they don't care. Then I'm like, I made it up. It's in
then
my
you're
mind.
Fine.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go back to bed. Otherwise, I'm like, did you hear that? If you heard that, you go check it out. You're my guard dog, Vivian.
Okay.
6 pounds of you.
Vivian?
She's usually the one awake.
6 pounds. That's generous.
She might be 7.
She's like 3.
No, she's bigger than Ricky.
She doesn't ever let me hold her. I just look at her and she looks like she's maybe 2 pounds soaking wet.
She's about 6.
She just yells at me and runs away when I try to pet her.
I can't pick her up either, so don't feel bad.
She's very fierce that way.
She moves faster than me, so I can't grab her.
Yeah, she's it's like she wants to be picked up and she's confused.
Yeah, she is. She comes over to me and barks at me, and then I lean down to pick her up and she scoots to the next room. I'm like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Mixed signals, Vivian. Mixed signals.
Yep. Sorry, I'm coughing a lot. You are getting over your cold now too, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had this chest thing. I don't feel sick.
No.
I feel fine, except that when I breathe, it sounds like little people laughing in my chest.
It only hurts when I breathe.
It doesn't hurt at all.
I know.
It's my chest is full of shit. And when I was laying in bed a couple nights ago, I can breathe just fine, even through my nose. Mm-hmm. But when I breathe out, it goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This, like the squeak. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I start laughing. So it goes. Anyway,
we were supposed to record 4 days ago, but Wednesday I sounded like I smoked a pack a day.
Yeah.
Like my name was Martha. I hit the local bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we were going to do it Thursday. And then
we were just mentally, neither one of us was prepared.
Oh, I had a really hard day dealing with mom shit. I'll talk about that in the sideshow. She's fine. It's just dealing with bureaucracy. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
So that's why we're here. It's Saturday, the 7th. So we're a little late. But anywho, so I might be coughing a lot.
Better late than pregnant, as Blanche says.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
From Golden Girls.
Right. So now we're with Amy. She's in this room looking at the ceiling, and she says they're like little tiny jellyfish with long tentacles, and they're always moving and always around. They're trying to organize themselves to become a being. Mm-hmm. And I thought organized jellyfish sounds fascinating to me, but also gross.
Yeah.
Hanging from the ceiling?
Yeah. I also wonder if that's what she draws. Yeah. When she started talking about it, I was like, that's just odd enough that
she'll draw that.
That's what she would draw.
Yeah. She'll have that drawn for sure. So then we're in the basement and it's Steve and Jesse talking. And I just want to note, I'm not sure what's going on down there. I put a picture in here, but it looks like behind the clothes washer, it looks like something's on the wall. Like, I don't know if it's brambles or...
I think it's dust webs, like cobwebs.
It could be, but it's so dark. Like, I wouldn't think that would show up on camera.
But I bet you it's been a long time since they got cleaned. So it's probably like what started out as cobwebs and then dirt and dust has just stuck onto them.
It could be.
Or if they have cat hair or pet hair. I don't know. We don't ask if it was animals. A dog.
So. No, he never asked if it was a dog.
But so that's what I'm guessing it is. But yeah, it looks very creepy.
It's creepy. It looks really creepy. I mean, I got plenty of dust on and cobwebs on my walls, but that looks really dark and creepy. Mm-hmm. It looks like hair to me. But anyway, they talk about being in the basement. Nobody likes to be in that basement. Mm-hmm. And her son went down there once and got spooked and ran upstairs, and he won't go down there now.
Yeah. They were both down there, and the shadow passed in front of a light bulb, and she said it completely blacked out the light bulb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Which is what blacked out means, what that means. Yeah.
In case you wanted a definition of that. Yeah.
Megan, the walking dictionary. You're welcome. How many drinks do you have? I've seen you take like 3 drinks from different.
This is my leftover matcha from breakfast, lunch, whatever.
Yeah. Did you have another one on the left?
I have over here. I have my water.
Oh, maybe you just moved the other one because I think I did move that one. I've like seen you take a drink of a coffee drink from like 3 different areas.
This one I think was over here. And
yes.
I moved it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, what is happening?
That's all I got. Just these 2.
She's just very hydrated.
I'm trying to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Well, this one is milk-based, which is going to make my throat go gurgle, gurgle while I'm talking. So that's what the water's for. Okay. So Amy then is down there. She feels there's some kind of revenge thing going on. And this is the guy that wants to slit her throat. And she says she feels like she's getting punched in the stomach and that this guy's causing problems with people. Mm-hmm. And then she's outside and it kind of looks like she's in a shed. I'm not sure if that's where she is, but she's getting punched in the stomach out there.
Sure.
And then she says, well, sometimes you meet, you know, the ones who really don't want to talk. And then you try and get in their minds and they just wipe you. Like it's like a blank slate.
Is she saying that they do like cause like amnesia? Like that's kind of what I got from it.
I think like they make her maybe forget what she was trying to ask them.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Like when you try to ask somebody something, you tell a story and then suddenly you just forget and you're like, oh my God, I have no idea what I was just talking about.
Oh, so every day for me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't realize that was paranormal, but...
It is.
I thought I was just ditzy.
No, but it's paranormal along with my diabetes.
It's got to be. It's the only explanation.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we meet Fred, Jesse's husband.
A delight. I love Fred, but he is like 7 feet tall.
He's very
tall.
He is
so
tall. He's got
tall.
Very wide shoulders. So he's a big dude. He's
like
a real
he
big
could
dude.
Be like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Like a football linebacker.
Yeah. He's a big dude.
Or a defensive line. Like he could be the guy that pushes everybody.
Yeah.
That's how you push in like football. Yeah. You do like this.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I watch sports ball too.
Yep.
So they're on the porch talking, Steve and Fred, and Fred's talking about when they came back from barbecue and they saw a shadowy figure peering through the curtain from inside the house. They're on the outside of the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he saw the whole outline. And then Steve goes, you don't look like you scare easy, but that scared you. And I just thought, you know, that's your toxic masculinity, Steve.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Because real
to
men
be scared.
Can't be scared.
Right.
But they can. Yes. I feel like if you're not scared, you're just stupid. You're too stupid to be scared.
Or you're in denial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
That's right.
That's what I've always said.
That's right. And he said, yeah, I was scared enough to call my 4'9" wife to come up here. And that I thought, that's where I noted. I was like, I knew she was tiny, but I didn't think she was that tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's little.
That's,
Not really, not even 5 feet tall. That's very little.
I know.
At least I'm taller than that. For now. At some point, I'm going to be shorter because I'm shrinking. I've already shrunk 2 inches.
It's okay. Size isn't everything.
Yeah. So then Fred talks about his dreams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had talked about her dreams, too. And he had a dream about the Grim Reaper. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
A lot of dreams in this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of dreams.
Yeah.
Dreamweaver.
I listened to two podcasts this week where...
Good for you.
I listened to a lot, but two of them were where people wanted... They were talking about a song.
Yeah.
But one person said to the other, don't sing it or we have to pay for it.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, no one's going to come after us. We make $6 a month on this podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, we sing all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean,
yeah. Anyway. So then Amy sees jellyfish creatures again. Then we go into the basement with Fred. Fred and Steve are in the basement. Fred does not like the basement. No.
Yeah.
Bueno.
No siree, Bob.
No siree, Bob.
He does not want to be there.
No. And he talks about, you know, how he doesn't like that this is happening, bad enough that it's happening to him and, you know, his wife. But it's these poor kids who, mm-hmm. like you stated, have never known anything else.
Yeah.
This is their childhood. This is what they've known. And he doesn't want that.
And
to
that's,
be.
I mean, Fred's like, I just want them to have a childhood and be a child. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, he's 6 years old and he can't sleep in his own bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a parent, your one job is to protect your children.
Right.
And, you know, how many times have we heard them say, how do you fight something you can't mm-hmm. see? Yeah. So I totally feel their anguish, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
They're such a good, like, they just seem like such good people.
Yeah. I really like these parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I like the kids too, but we didn't get to meet them.
Yeah.
So Amy's in the basement now and she's seeing this big and powerful guy. And then she says, like, he's such a, I think she said fucking, such mm-hmm. a fucking baby. Like, he won't talk to me or anything. He wants to be all brutal about it. And he's very capable of inflicting pain on people. And he can touch and physically touch.
And I wonder, because she kept talking about what a baby he was and what a coward. And I'm like, I wonder if she was saying that to kind of egg him on.
I think so, yeah.
Because she keeps talking, like, says it several times. He's such a baby. He's so coward. What a fucking coward.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Funny. Now we're in segment two, the investigation, a.k.a. digging through.
Digging through the archives.
Steve made some calls. And
As he does.
And he is going to speak to Linda Thomas, who's a former owner of the house. She lived there with her mother, her father, her brother, Lewis, and herself. Turns out her father and her brother are both named Lewis. Her brother is Lewis Jr. I found that out later.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't check all that. But so her brother was, I believe, 14. And he, 14. It was 1970. And he hung himself in the basement. Yeah.
14. Like, that's so young.
I know. I mean, 14. It's tough being a teenager.
It is so hard.
But it's,
I mean, and it's hard now. Imagine back then when they didn't acknowledge any mental health issues or any, you know, bullying or any of that. I mean, bless him. Like,
I know.
And her mom found him.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine finding your child.
Yeah.
I can't.
I know.
And she said that her mom was never the same after that. And I can't blame her.
Yeah. And then in 92, her mother died of a rare blood disease. And then her dad lost his mind from that. He was never the same again after that. And then he started seeing people in the house. And he died at 87. So I guess I don't know what year that would be, but I don't know how long he lived without his son and wife. But I will note that, especially looking more and learning more about aging and hospice and all that kind of stuff, people do tend to see dead people on their way out, as it were, when you are getting close to the end. A lot of times
I've heard that
family.
A lot.
Yeah. And I my friend Jody, who's a nurse, flip phone Jody.
Flip phone Jody.
Yeah. She doesn't believe in ghosts at all or anything, but she says, people do see people.
Yeah.
And I said, do you think it's ghost? She said, I don't know. We don't know what it is, but it happens. She didn't even want to contemplate that it could be.
No.
She and Greg are peas in a pod.
That's fine. They can be their doubtful peas in a pod together.
That's right. I have other people.
Mr. Doughty Mustafa. It's from a Disney movie. I forget which one.
Oh,
Aladdin.
Oh, okay.
When they got out of the Cave of Wonders and he goes, how about that, Mr. Doughty Mustafa? The genie says it. It's a good movie.
I haven't watched that since like probably it came out.
That is my favorite Disney movie. Is I know really? Everybody from my generation says Lion King, but no, for me, it's Aladdin. Everybody loves, for my generation, like Lion King is the GOAT. I mean, they fucking love it.
It is,
but Aladdin's better. I'm sorry. Sorry, I said it.
Nah. Yeah.
I'll die on that hill.
Okay. My favorite Disney was Alice in Wonderland. That's how old I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
I also loved Sleeping Beauty, and The Jungle Book. Okay. Anyway, I liked all of those.
Is this a Disney podcast? Or? Nope, because we'll get sued.
They'll probably sue us just for talking about it.
Probably.
So Amy Allen sees this old man bopping around, and he wanders around.
He's
confused. Yeah. He's old. He's like 80. And then he does have moments of clarity where he knows that there are people here, but then he gets even more confused. So that tells me he has dementia. And then he goes in the closet and shrinks down. And then she says,
"Damn old men.
They look all cute and harmless, and then they're crazy."
It's not his fault. If he has dementia, it's not his fault.
Which, though, that kind of sucks that if you can have dementia even when you're a ghost. Like, you can't even escape it then.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair.
No, it doesn't.
No. Well, it's like my mom, she wants to, you know, she can't be cremated because she thinks she's going to need her body on the other side. I'm going to still need my body. You can't, you know. And I'm like, do you really want that body?
Yeah.
You've seen your feet, right? Her feet are something else.
Why are old people's feet always fucking gnarly?
Well, hers are because she was a dancer. And so she danced.
Oh, that's true.
She danced on point. Too young.
Yeah.
And her feet got all, I mean, they're, I'm not kidding when I tell you. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
They're a sight
they're
to behold.
They're gnarly. Yeah.
But anyway, so now we're on to Bob Bishop, who is a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
That's right. Bingo.
There he is. Bob.
Bobby. Bob. And
Bobster.
So,
Bob-a-rama.
Bob-a-rama ding dong. So we have a ring shot.
Yep.
And we are going to look to the archives.
This guy looks like what you imagine mob people look like.
He does kind of.
He's like very New Jersey. Like every guy in this episode except for Fred wears a suit and tie. And I don't know if they were doing that because they were going to be on TV.
Maybe.
But I mean, they just like, he's got dark hair. He's got olive skin.
Dark, big eye, bushy eyebrows.
Big, bushy eyebrows. He's got, you know, he's kind of bigger, but he's not, I wouldn't classify him as like heavy. He's
no,
just like
he's got
beefy.
A round face.
Yeah.
Cheeks.
I mean, he just reminded me very much of the mafia. But again, that's my brain because we're in New Jersey. Jersey. There it is.
Jersey.
Oh, it hurts my mouth.
All right. So Bob finds the title back in the mid-1850s. A group of wealthy German financiers acquired 38,000 acres of land that they wanted to develop into a town, and it would be a land of opportunity for the German immigrants. So these two brothers, Ignaz and Louis Roche, I believe it was pronounced Roche.
That's what I see. Yeah, that's what it was pronounced.
They were German immigrants who came over here expecting the land of opportunity. There was going to be parks, lakes, churches, schools. I mean, a whole town they could come and raise a family in.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they get when they got there? Stark reality. Woods and mosquitoes.
Yeah. Nothing was developed. Nothing.
Which is a lot. We hear that story time and time again. I mean,
Tale as old as time. Tune as old as song.
Yeah. There we go. Singing again.
No, I didn't sing. I spoke it. It's different.
Yeah, that's true. So Lewis had six children, three of which died.
Yeah.
One of them was an infant.
Yep.
And then his son, Lewis Jr., died at 9 years old with double pneumonia.
Ouch.
Then he had another son, William, who died when he was 26 years old of enteritis.
Which I think it's interesting that he didn't name his first son Lewis Jr. He
that's
named
the second
time
one. We've seen
yes,
that.
It is.
A couple was it a couple ago?
Was, yeah, it was.
Where they had a son. It was the one where the one son killed the mom, threw her down the stairs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a son
Thomas.
That was born. Yeah. Yeah. Theodore.
Theodore
and I can't remember the other guy's name.
That doesn't matter. Yes.
Anyway. So, but then there was another child in between those two boys. Mm-hmm. One of those boys was the oldest.
Yeah.
Philip, that was his name. Philip was the oldest. Then there was a junior. And then there was Theodore.
Yeah.
And junior is the one that died mm-hmm. early as a child.
It's just maybe it was maybe they named the second one and thinking the first one was going to die because infant mortality was so high.
And then how it turns out is the one that they named after the dad is the one that died.
Let's not put all our eggs in one basket. This one's probably going to die. Let's name the second one.
I think that's why they had so many kids back
then. Yeah.
You gotta have enough people to work the farm, and you can't expect them all to live. So
yeah, you gotta just pop them out and hope for the best.
I can't imagine throw
it against the wall and see which ones stick. The ones that don't are gonna die.
That's right. I can't imagine. No, because you can't get attached to your children if you think they're gonna die.
But how do you not?
Well, you just close yourself off. But then that's not good for the child to grow up with their parents not being attached to them.
That's why we got people throwing their moms down the stairs.
That's right.
It all comes back.
We figured it all out right there.
Right there in two minutes.
Anyway.
Or just call us. We'll explain it all.
If you have another issue like that you need us to solve, just let us know.
We're here.
So we're here for you. We're here for you. We should do a
commercial. For you.
I did look up enteritis, and I'm not saving this for the research and rabbit hole section because it's not that interesting. But enteritis is the inflammation of the small intestine, commonly known as a type of stomach flu or food poisoning, often caused by bacterial or viral infections from contaminated food or water. Symptoms include severe abdominal pain, diarrhea, vomiting, and loss of appetite. Treatment usually focuses on preventing dehydration through fluid replacement. So,
call your doctor if you have any of these symptoms.
Yes. Or just drink a lot of water and it'll move its way out. Yeah.
Or as we'll find out later, just go wait around in a puddle of water.
Oh, that's right. You can always do that.
Always do that.
Always. So yeah. the genealogist.
Bob Bishop.
He does say if they had proper medical attention and hospitals, this guy probably wouldn't have died.
Which is what they were promised.
Yeah.
So no wonder this Lewis guy is bitter because they were if
good point.
They had gotten what they had been promised, three of his children would not have died.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So Amy's talking about this man and she said she's determined to get in his head. He's very violent and she's really trying to get in there. He's not letting her. She thinks there's something mm-hmm. to do with family and money some time ago. And she said it was about the 1850s. And I think we just said this was the 1860s, right?
No, 50s.
Oh, it was 50s. Okay.
Yep.
So she says, I don't know if it's even in this friggin' country. He felt betrayed and double-crossed. And he's trying to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. Now we're on to Mark Maxwell, the local historian.
Yep.
And Steve's at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees an article that catches his attention. And there used to be a sanitarium right near the house. But the records about what went on there are limited.
Because we don't want to keep track of what we do to people there.
Exactly.
I will say there was a very nice research montage of him looking through papers and newspaper articles flashing on the screen.
Yep.
And he's sitting there with his glasses. And I mean, it was very...
It was good. It was good.
It was very montage-y.
It was. I liked it. So he's now talking to Max Maxwell, local historian.
Mark Maxwell.
You're correct.
Who's in a very lovely suit and tie.
He is. That's a nice blue tie he's wearing.
It is a very nice blue tie.
And they're standing outside of this building. That reminded me of the Octagon building.
Yes.
It's got many sides. It's
like
not
an octagon.
It's not eight, though, because I did look up. That is actually the museum that he works in.
Okay.
This man. And I'll tell you more about that later. But anyway, this is where the Neutral Water Health Spa was mm-hmm. on the grounds, not in that building. That building was part of it.
Yeah.
But it's not. I think that's where the mill was that kept mm-hmm. the water moving. So the Neutral Water Health Spa was centered on the healing waters of the creek behind where these guys are standing. It was
or
cedar
creek,
water.
Depending on how you say it.
The cedar water that comes up from the ground, and it was advertised all over. People heard about how you could come here and get well. You could get all the wonderful cures.
For anything, just by walking in the water.
Yeah.
Like Jesus.
Yeah, he said that problems that Steve asked what problems these people had that they would be going there for. And he said prostate problems, kidney, uterine, and infertility. And then he says, you name it, they came here for it, which I don't think that's naming everything, but that's a lot.
That's
of
four. That's four of them, but sure, everything.
That's a few things, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, do we know if anybody died in this place? And all I could think of is the vampire town that we always bring
right,
up again.
Right, right,
did anybody
right.
ever die in this town?
Nope.
Nope.
No, Steve, they're all in there, just walking around in the crick. Just
wandering around.
Wading in the crick.
Yeah. So Mark talks about this one person who came here that the doctors in the area thought he was at death's doorstop. Doorstop.
Doors. He actually was the doorstop.
Eventually.
He just collapsed and they were like, well, we might as well just use him for something.
Scoot him over to the side. He'll keep the door open.
Yeah, we gotta make sure we get fresh air in here. Old Leroy, just prop him up there.
Yeah, they never talk about who this guy is.
No, he's but just on death's doorstop.
Just got some guy that, you know, was about to die. They took him in and they have no reference to how he died. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the cure didn't work.
Yeah, not with that attitude, it didn't. The power of positive thinking, Amy.
That's right. That's what they should have been.
You shouldn't have been a doctor in this time because you would have just everybody. We'd be like, well, sorry, you can walk in the crick, but it ain't going to work.
It's probably not going to work.
Yeah, you're on death's doorstop right there. I killed her.
My emphysema's coming back.
Who's on death's doorstop now?
It's me. Oh, God. Okay. So now Amy's talking about that. She says there are a lot of people with illness here. A lot of people are vomiting. Something with preservation, maybe. Somebody who's dying, they have to do with this group of people. They're really sick out here. And then she feels lightheaded and dizzy and dehydrated and has chest pain and can't see very well. Oh, oh, I said this looks like a vasovagal syncope. I'm not a doctor.
And then
you took a picture of me.
Yeah, and she is a doctor.
Oh my God, I am a doctor now.
Sibylline made you Dr. Thompson. I don't know. Your name is Lisa Thompson.
Lisa Thompson. I love it.
Yeah, that's the name that Sibylline gave you, Dr. Lisa Thompson.
I love it. I'm going to put this on my resume.
Yeah,
I love it. I'll put it.
So
in
there you go.
On the specials, you guys.
She also made you about 30 years younger.
Yeah, I look like
you
a
should
child.
Have seen the first picture. It was not nice.
Funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, what Amy was talking about with the lightheadedness and all that kind of stuff, I had said that sounds like vasovagal syncope, which we had in our last episode.
Yeah.
Where the woman who was experiencing this, like passing out all the time, she was really bad, really passing out, not just like a little lightheaded.
The client.
The client, yeah, in the last one. And I wanted to mention, I forgot, Megan, I was going to tell you this story when we thought about doing just an extra recording with a sideshow and we ended up not doing it. Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to tell you is right after we did that episode where the woman had this vasovagal whatever, we were at our watering hole.
Yep.
And we were sitting with a couple that we see every once in a while there, and they're really cool. One of them's a nurse. And a guy across the bar just like started, she noticed that he was getting like woozy, like he was gonna fall over, and she jumped up and ran over there, and she was like looking at his face, and she put him on the floor, and he was out. He passed out.
Whoa.
Something. She couldn't. She was trying to get him like wake him up, and he wouldn't. And I didn't see any of that because, of course, he was on the floor. But she came back, sat down with us, and she's like told us everything that happened. I got him on the floor. He threw up. He came to, but then ambulance came in and they carted him out. And she said, I think that was a vasovagal syncope. And I was like, I just yesterday learned about what that is.
You're like, well, shoot the horse and slap me silly. I know what that is.
I know what that is.
And now here it is again. You're basically a doctor.
I might as well be. I mean, I've got the picture to prove it.
Yeah, you should submit this to Mayo and be like, here's my application.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, hired.
Yeah. Because you look 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Doogie Howser was like 13 when he became a doctor. That's right. So.
That's right. Yeah. So Steve asks, was this a state run or whatever? And the guy goes, no, it was private. And he shows a picture of this dude who is Dr. Smith. Dr. Does he have a front name? First name. Charles Smith. Dr. Charles Smith. That's his.
His front name is Charles.
His front
his
and
back name. His back name is Smith.
Yeah.
And he's on death's doorstep.
Yeah. I said he looks like an eccentric old coot. And I wrote that before I read the rest or saw the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. And then Steve goes, what kind of guy was he? And he goes, he was a charismatic person, eccentric. And I was like, I swear to God, I didn't see that when I wrote the note.
But you were just that connected to Mark Maxwell.
Very connected.
There's a lot of alliteration with the names. We got Bob Bishop. We got Mark Maxwell.
Yeah.
Amy Allen.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. So this guy was not a doctor.
What?
Just like us. Not a doctor.
First of all, you have a picture that says you are.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay, but like, I don't know
how do you
anymore.
Become a doctor in the 1800s? I feel like you just walked into a town and said, I'm a doctor. And they
I mean,
were
that's
like,
what
okay,
they did
cool.
do, but that doesn't really make you a doctor. No, I do believe that they, you know, you had to go to school to become a doctor to be able to call yourself one legally. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this dude is a real piece of work because he says he was born in 1776, which would have made him well over 140 years old while he was running this place, or when he died anyway. So I just noted that I can't believe that people believe this shit. I mean,
it just, at least we're consistent in our stupidity as a species.
I know.
I don't know how we haven't gone extinct yet, to be completely frank.
I don't know either. I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah, we are.
It might be close.
Yep.
So Amy then sees this structure. She sees this dead person. She says, I don't like this guy. He's very sick physically and mentally. He's disturbed. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge.
All right, so now we're on to the sketch. During my walk, I encountered many entities. So I had a sketch artist draw the two who stood out clearly. So first is the old man in the house. He's about 80, blah, blah, blah. And then the second one, the creatures in the master bedroom, the jellyfish. So... And then, I just noted that when the sketch artist says, Amy, is this what you saw? She goes, yes. And I just feel like it's so like weird and forced. Like, why just not let her answer? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Thank
or
you.
Like, how's this look? Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Amy, is this what you saw?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Goodbye. I'm on death's doorstep. Sorry. Such a good little blooper.
Dear.
Oh, dear. Lord.
Oh, dear, Lordy. Okay, so now we're at the reveal. And Steve does the whole, this is why we're here.
Fred and Jesse.
And they're married. He makes a note to say.
Because they're not living in sin.
I don't know why he would do that, but he did.
Well, they can't be living in sin.
Yeah.
Sinners.
Sinners.
Thou shalt repent. Just kidding. I was a sinner.
I was too.
Yeah.
I was too.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't tell my mom.
Just I would she never. She'd forget.
She would forget.
Sorry. She's I'm so forgotten. Sorry. That was so mean.
No, it's not mean. It's fine. We joke about it all the time. Okay, but she has friends coming on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even telling her because when I do that, then she calls me every 3 hours and goes, is it today? Is it today they're coming? Is it today? So I'm not even going to tell her until like an hour before they're coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise she goes, is it yet? Because she sleeps like 5 times a day. So every time she wakes up, she thinks it's a new day.
Yeah.
So she calls me every few hours. Is it today? I'm like, no, Mom, it's still the same day that you called me last time. It's only 3 hours later. Anyway. And then so I'm like,
oh, Barb.
I told her that I was coming to. She said, I want to go have lunch again. Like she's like, we haven't done it in eons. Yeah. We just did it on Tuesday.
And it's Saturday right now.
Yeah. So it hasn't been that long. And so I said, well, we're going to go next week. And she said, what day? And I said, I'm afraid to tell you because I'm afraid you're going to call me every 3 hours and ask me if it's today. And she laughed and she goes, no, I won't. I promise. I'm like, okay, I put it on your calendar. Well, I just told her about 2 hours ago. So
okay.
Haven't
heard
yet.
Stay tuned.
See, have I missed a call from her yet? No, no.
Okay. Stay tuned, everybody.
It'll be, yeah. I did put it on her calendar. And I'm like, just look at your calendar. It's not today.
She'll forget that you told her that.
I know.
I joke, but I do really. I've met Barb. She's delightful. I really love Barb. She's very sweet. She's so welcoming. I went to her birthday party. She gave me a big hug. She was so sweet.
She is.
She's a gem. She is. She's delightful.
Yeah. That's what the staff at her old place where she lived, they said she's a gem. She's a gem.
She is a gem.
She's just friendly. She's nice to everybody. And she is being a teacher and she's kind of, she's nurturey like that.
Yeah.
And so when she is like in the room with all the other people in her series, she calls it, in her group. She can't think of the right words, so she comes up with a new word every time. It's her series. You know, all those other people in my series.
Sure.
So she looks out for them. Like if somebody needs something, she'll say, hey, so-and-so needs this. Or somebody will ask for something and the person doesn't hear, so she'll go ask for it. You know, she's really, really sweet that way.
She's
I hope she doesn't get the pissy.
The angry
stage.
Dementia.
Yeah. My dad never got it. My dad was never mean either. So hopefully she won't either. Not that they're related in that way, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on track to
Amy Allen.
Yes. So this is where I realized that there were no pictures of the kids, no interviews, no names, but that's okay. Totally. Yeah. Totally understand. But like we said. So I don't know that
they've
we need to go
through enough. I mean, I'm sure they didn't want to traumatize him by asking him to relive it again when they do it every night.
Right.
Well, plus and also, one of them's two. Like how
you can't really
talk
interview
to a 2-year-old.
You could probably interview the boy. I mean, he's interviewed kids six-year-olds before, but yeah, I can see why they didn't.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I don't think we need to go through all of this again. You know all this stuff already. I did note that I thought it was interesting that she said again, the mom said, they've tested everything from cancer to like anything else. She always goes with the cancer, which I'm sure, like you said, that's traumatic to have your child go through that. But she's not like cancer to a cold. You know, she's like cancer to everything else. And she said that twice that way.
Yeah. And also, I don't know how they test for leukemia. So I don't know what kind of how traumatic that is for the child.
Like, it's a blood cancer. So I would assume it's.
Just a blood draw? Yeah.
I don't know
bone marrow and you have to, and that's super painful. And
yeah, bone marrow would be really painful.
From what I've heard, I never have had it.
No, I haven't either. Thank goodness. Knock on wood. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
I also have to note here, just because I thought this was really funny. Fred says, and then 6-8 months ago, she got her appendix taken out. However, Word transcribed it to penis. So 8 months ago, she had her penis taken out.
Sure. I hate when that happens. Like, that is so young.
I know.
To have your appendix out.
I know.
And then when we learn later, about the girl in history who got her appendix out at 3, my jaw dropped.
She died of appendicitis at 3.
That's right. She died of, and she got her appendix out at 3.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They took it out, but that's what she died from. It could have just burst and she died.
But I mean the girl, the little girl,
the current girl. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the daughter got her appendix out at 3.
Yeah.
And then the other one died at 3.
Right. That is quite the coinkydink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talk about Lewis. Good Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Lewis. Lewis Brunk? He's the one whose daughter we met, and he's the one
who lived in the house, and his son died by suicide.
Right. So Amy pulls out a sketch, and they compare it to the picture of Lewis and Linda, his daughter. Mm-hmm. I think it looks like him.
I do, too.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say exactly, but he's definitely got those mouth lines.
Yep. I will say his face is not as wide as the picture. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, the head shape is different. But the eyes, I think, the nose, the mouth lines, I think it, I would definitely agree that it's him.
I think it's him. It looks like the sketch might be him at a younger age.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty gaunt in the picture with his daughter. So I believe that's probably close to one of the last pictures taken of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will say, jumping ahead a little, I did look him up. I found his obituary, and that's the picture that they used in the obituary. Not the sketch.
The one of his daughter?
Yeah.
Him and his daughter?
Yeah. Although she's cropped out. But yeah. So yeah, Steve pulls the picture out and he says, "You guys tell me." And I was like, good job, Steve.
That's what you do.
You didn't say, "Oh, that's a dead ringer."
Or, "You're not going to like this." Yeah. Or, "I hate to even show you." Or any of the other things you say.
Right.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So we talk about the shadow person, Steve goes, one of the main things is they don't sleep. And Jesse says, ever. And Amy goes, for 8 years?
Yeah, she was like.
And Jesse goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, no wonder you're seeing shit. Like,
you're fucking sleep deprived.
You haven't slept in, I mean, obviously she's slept in 8 years or she'd be dead. But I mean,
not a decent sleep
in 8 years is that is not good.
Mm-mm.
That is not good. So then Amy shows the sketch and it's in a bedroom.
Hated this.
It's not. Yeah. It's that somebody sitting on the bed. I believe it's a man. It looks kind of like a man.
But it's
and on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
These gross. They look like blood clots, actually.
They do. They do. I don't like it. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. There's a shadow figure in the corner and Fred is like, this is my dream. He's like, this is because remember, he had a dream about the Grim Reaper.
Yep.
He said this. He goes even down to that position.
Yep.
He's like, that's
Isn't that wild that Amy is able to see what Fred sees in his dream and be able to then give it to a sketch artist who can interpret it to make it look like it's wild to me.
It is.
It's wild that people can
humans are wild.
I know.
That's probably why we haven't been extinct.
We do have some good qualities as a race. Some. That's for sure.
And fewer as the years go on.
As we get. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Amy is talking about the guy. His goal is vengeance. And
this is the Lewis from Germany.
This is the bad Lewis.
Not the good Lewis whose son died by suicide.
Right.
This is the bad one from Germany.
Right.
Who got swindled. So like, I can't really blame him. Like, I understand his point of view. You know, like,
for sure.
He came wanting a better life, and it cost him the lives of 3 of his children.
Yeah. So what he did is he put a curse on the land, but accidentally also cursed himself.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oopsies.
And that's what happens when you. Yeah. That's what happens when you dabble in shit. You know, don't know what you're doing.
Brittany. Kitchen. But read my dad's book.
Yeah. Bingo. That's on the bingo card.
Yeah.
That will be.
We almost made it through an episode, you guys, without mentioning it.
Almost. I mean, we almost quite. Always can find a way to weave her
it's
in.
It's true. We can.
If she only knew.
She'd probably be pretty pissed.
She probably would be pretty pissed.
But like, he's now essentially trapped himself and he cannot, like, he's like this forever because he cursed himself with the land.
Yeah.
So that backfired.
Be careful cursing other things. And other people, because it will probably come back
just
to bite you in the ass.
Curse things. Just
that's not good.
Nature will take its own vengeance. It will be. It might not be right away. You might have to wait a while. But just don't do it.
It might
Please
be when you're dead.
That. Yeah,
and you're a being stuck in a house, pissed off
jellyfish
all the time. Yeah, trying to corral some jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve did ask why they think that she didn't see the son, the mm-hmm. one who died by suicide. And she said it could be several things. He could be gone or he could be scattered. And I'm thinking, or he, you know, like she said, gone. He passed on.
Yeah.
Maybe he's come to, you know, his soul or whatever has come.
Is that for peace?
Yeah. Is that, yeah. So he doesn't have to haunt. He doesn't mm-hmm. have to go back. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Steve was testing her a little bit. Like, yeah. How come you didn't see that?
Yeah.
I thought you saw everything, you know. I thought you were good
at this.
Which
is kind of a dick move.
Kind of a dick move. But maybe that's not what he thought. That's just what I, you know. I have a hard time always giving Steve the benefit of the doubt. So, I don't know. She says he's not a bad person. This,
but it's crazy because they showed a picture of the boy who died. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jesse said, oh my God, that's who I saw in her dream leading yeah. her down the stairs.
Yeah. 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 But also then I thought, you know, she goes, that's him. But then I thought, how do we know it's not a different entity disguising mm-hmm. himself as that kid?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how you ever know.
Right. I don't
know.
So
either. I put that as a note to ask Amy Allen when she comes on our show.
Yeah, I would think that their energy would be different. I would think that she could tell by
she
the energy.
Can tell.
Like,
yeah, that's very well.
But I don't
very
know.
Possible. Yeah.
Amy Allen, when you come on, we're going to ask you.
Yeah, we have a question for you.
I'll give you $5 if you come on to our show.
I'll chip in another $5.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Double or nothing.
There. Yep. So when they're talking about like what to do and their client, Fred, he's looking at the pictures and he says, I would really like to help him. And he points to the dad. Be with him, the son. Mm-hmm. And he said, and then I'd like even the other guy, I'd like him mm-hmm. to, you know, be able to move on and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, and that's be so
at,
sweet.
Just, yeah, it was very sweet. He's like, I just want everyone to be at rest. Yeah. Like, and yeah. I think part of it too was for his kids, but also part of it was he just wants them to be, you know, peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just such a good family.
I know. I noted when he said he hasn't told a lot of people about this, but that his daughter's sickness really, really did a number on him.
And I'm sure it did.
He feels so bad and he just wants, you know, closure and yeah. all that for her. And all I could think of is the green flag man that we see on social media, Dustin Pointer.
Yeah.
Running around with the giant flags.
Amy said that you have to contact a local Wiccan and Steve is like, what exactly is a Wiccan?
Yeah.
And she's like, Wiccans are like a natural witch. They're all about the earth. They're all about nature. They're all about preservation. And she or he is going to do some kind of ritual that will negate the curse he has placed upon himself.
Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, he'll get rid of the bad Lewis mm-hmm. and the fractured stuff. And mm-hmm. then also the other Lewis. So they do. They say they're going to do what they said.
Yep.
And the end cards say a local Wiccan has cleansed Fred and Jesse's home and they report no further activity.
Yes. So it was a good ending for them.
It was.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
So
research and rabbit holes.
It's time for research and rabbit holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. This is not going to be that long. I don't have that much. Just in a nutshell, I didn't find the clients, but I did find the house. I have a little bit of info there. I did find a little bit of info on Dr. Smith and the sanitarium. I found nothing on either the good Lewis or the bad Lewis. So, house. First of all, I Googled Jesse, spelled the way she spells it, and Fred, mm-hmm. Egg Harbor, New Jersey, which is how I begin any search for clients, is I put their names in and I put their town. And it said, do you mean Jesse? Change the spelling for me. And Fried Egg Harbor, New Jersey?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Google, that's what I meant. Fried Egg Harbor. Anyway, so I was curious about how the town got its name, so I Googled that.
Sure.
Egg Harbor, New Jersey received its name in 1614 from Dutch explorer Captain Cornelius Jacobsen May, who named the area Arenhaven, meaning egg mm-hmm. harbor, due mm-hmm. to the vast, astonishing number of seabird eggs found in the nests along the banks of the bay and river.
Okay, but where else would you find seabird eggs other than in their nests?
Well, I think
normally we find
that
them.
There were a
I
lot.
Know, but it was just a weird phrasing.
It is weird. Well, it was, that was Google's AI that told me
I
that.
I know, but I'm just, it was like in the sea eggs that were in the nests.
Yeah.
Where would you else would you find them?
Well,
AI?
They could be, you know,
Don't
scattered all
come
over.
At me with logic. Okay. How dare you?
All right, moving on. So I did find the house, and I found it on Zillow, and I found it on Google, and it is the house, although they are not there anymore. It last sold in 2018, and this house has a really wild sale history because it was bought in 2005 for $189,000.
That was probably them, because this was aired in 2013. So that was 8 years ago. They've been in the house for 8 years.
So they would have bought it for $189 in 2005?
That's
yeah,
8 years?
I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. I had it mixed up, because I guess I forgot they were there for 8 years. It sold in 2017 for $1,000.
Whoa.
Which that means that they would have sold it for $1,000, right?
If they, yeah. Ouch.
And now it does not have the star on the outside. And it's different, but the pictures on Zillow are of, it looks like their house, like their in the house show. It's the pink, whoa, the pink bedroom with the tree in it. And then there's also the boys' room, which we never saw, but it's got Go Dog Go from Dr. Seuss on the murals on the walls.
That is eerie.
Yeah.
That is very eerie that they sold it for $1,000.
Yeah. See, I had the times mixed up when I was doing this. I thought they bought it for $1,000.
No,
but you're right.
Aired.
If they sold it in 2017, or if it was sold in 2017, that would have been them. They sold it for $1,000. And then whoever bought it flipped it. And it sold in 2018 for $79,000 and is now valued at $278,000.
Wow.
But it's not for sale right now.
Wow.
There's no pictures of the basement, so I can't see that. I wondered about that big star on the front of the house. I wondered if that was like a something like... something I should know.
is it a sign of some sort?
Right, right. It is, it's often called a barn star. It typically symbolizes protection and a welcoming, rustic, or patriotic charm.
It's also very Southern. I think there's a lot of those in the South.
You're right. It is. Originating from 18th century German American and Pennsylvania Dutch traditions, they're originally meant to ward off evil, and today they serve as popular decorations. And then I found some stuff on Reddit where apparently it started in Pennsylvania, not in the South, but it got popular in the South. And then it got even more popular because Chip and Joanna Gaines put it on some of the houses.
Yeah. Because America.
Right. So Neutral Water Health Spa, also known as Neutral Water Health Resort Sanitarium, created in 1905 by Charles Smith to treat patients with muscle problems, is what Google's AI says.
Sure.
I found a few articles, nothing really too much different than what we already heard, but yeah, he did get married in 1899 for the second time at the age of 122. Sure, Jan. Yeah. So this is a quote from Dr. Smith. "For the only correct way to bathe in the pool of youth in order to get the virtue of the water is to put on a suit of woolen underclothes, a light suit of outer stockings, and low shoes."
I know when I go for a swim, I'm like, where's my wool suit? Bring me my wool suit.
Yeah. Luckily, it's not very deep, because otherwise you'd just sink straight to the bottom.
Yeah. Nothing says relaxing like scratchy wool suit.
Gross.
With my linen undergarments. Love it.
Blech.
No wonder everybody died.
Right.
They probably got a rash.
I can't imagine. Oh. Gross. Wet, scratchy wool.
Gross. No.
No, thank you.
They probably got scratched and then they got infected because they were in a fucking creek.
Yeah.
Full of bugs.
Blech.
Bacteria.
That's nasty. So it was sold in 1921 to a guy named Harry Winberg, who had it until 1926, and it was repurposed as a detention home for juveniles before becoming vacant. I've got some pictures of him.
Is it still standing today?
Some of the buildings are. Yeah, that building sure is.
Oh, where, obviously it was in the fucking episode, Megan.
Well, I think the other buildings are too, and the creek is still there.
Oh, that is deep.
Yeah, it's like a little above their waist.
That is deeper than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I think of a creek, or a creek, I think of like to my knees.
Yeah.
That's deep.
A little deeper.
Yep. Yeah. There's Charles front and center, 122 years old.
Yep. So I showed that the creek is either called Landing Creek or Serpentine Creek. It does serpentine around, so I can see why they would have called it that.
Mm-hmm.
And the building that we were talking about before is part of the spa. It was cleverly called the Roundhouse Museum.
Sure.
Operated by the Egg Harbor City Historical Society, where Mark Maxwell worked.
Mm-hmm.
I say worked because he has passed. He passed in 2021 of cancer.
That's too bad. Oh, he had a junior too. His son, his two sons, Mark Maxwell Jr. with his wife Lauren and their children, and James Maxwell with his wife Laura. Well, that's not confusing. Laura and Lauren. That's too bad.
So I do have a picture of the sanitarium, and then I have an arrow showing where you can see the they call it the Multigon, I think. It's not eight sides, so they call it the Multigon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the museum, it says they have items from the spa in that museum. So that'd be kind of fun to go see.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find much on Louis Brunk, who is the father of the woman that they interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I did find his obituary. His wife, Bernice, the woman who died of the blood disease, I believe, her parents' last name was Roche. The same last name of the other Lewis. But I searched back in her time, her like on Find a Grave or wherever it was. I searched back all of her siblings. I couldn't find anybody that was related to the other Lewis.
Wow.
So maybe it was just a name that was kind of popular back then.
She had a sister that lived for a long time. Marie, 1922 to 2016.
Wow.
94 years old.
That's pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Louis Roche, the German guy, I didn't find much about him. I did find his grave. He had a wife and three children that I listed here, and we talked about that. I didn't find anything about it, how he died. I don't know how he died. I couldn't find any newspaper articles or anything. The Egg Harbor was, it's still kind of a small town, but it was even smaller back then. And there were, they didn't have the paper. I even signed up for newspapers.com, which is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anything. There was no newspapers from Egg Harbor before 2005.
Holy shit.
So, I mean, there are.
Died.
They're just not in.
They're not there.
They're not at newspapers.com. So I, you know, they're always adding new papers and stuff. But anyway. Okay. So that's that. So
hope
you guys enjoyed. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
The Activity Continues is not affiliated with Warner Brothers, Max, Travel Channel, Painless Productions, or The Dead Files. Nor are we connected to the cast or crew. We are simply fans who recap and discuss past episodes for entertainment and community building purposes. We are not investigators, mediums, or paranormal professionals, and we do not accept or investigate case submissions. The Dead Files is no longer in production, though it continues to stream on various platforms. If you are seeking assistance for activity in your home or business, we recommend researching reputable investigators or professionals in your area and carefully reviewing their credentials and experience. Some people choose to begin by asking for recommendations with trusted local communities.